All right, well, let's start in Hebrews. This is one of the Hebrews 3:13. This is one of these scriptures that after I've been praying the Ephesians prayers for myself as well as everyone that's on my list, I started reading this and God began to just start showing me some stuff. And he's been stirring in my heart for a long time the importance of the church. Why is it important to go to church? And I just want to encourage you. You guys are all at church. Good job. You know, I'm preaching to the choir. You're all here. But at the same time, we can come to church and not understand what it is that we're supposed to be getting from church. And it is a good thing. And I just want to exhort you this morning. I can't say that I'm in the same style that Jim is. I'm not going to, you know, teach the way that he does on things. I have my own style. God has given us all different gifts. And so I'm going to use the gift that he's given me. But I want to encourage you because I really feel strongly about why is it important to go to church? Why do you show up? Why not just stay at home? There are many Christians that just stay at home. Why not be one of those? If it doesn't really matter, I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Why do we need to go to church? He's with us everywhere we go, everywhere we walk, you know. Why do we need to actually come in one place and gather together and be amongst one another? Why did God think that was so important that he told people basically, go in the upper room, get together, don't just go out and start doing your own thing. Get together for, you know, a number of days before the Holy Spirit came together. Why is it that the disciples, when they had been beaten up and persecuted for Jesus' sake, why is it that they ran to other Christians and spent time with other Christians and got built up? Because that's how the church basically got started. Is it was because the people that became Christians started meeting together and started doing stuff together. Well, why did they do it? They had the Holy Spirit. Why did they need one another? And so I want to just encourage us on that this morning. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. I'll just stop there and we'll go on in just a minute. But right there is an important reason to come to church. The devil is a deceiver. All around us, there's sin. In front of us on TV, we see sin all the time in action. Our coworkers, a lot of times the conversations that are going on are not centered on God. We are constantly around things that are saying, oh, it's okay to do this, and it goes contrary to what the Bible says. Oh, it's okay to be like this. You're born that way. You need to be this way because it's just the way you are. You can't help it. Whatever areas it is in our lives, we are being told that, you know what, you just need therapy. You can't help it, but maybe a good therapist can help you get through it. All sorts of different things in our lives, we are being told that. How come it's, you know, why can't we just go to a therapist instead of coming to church? Why can't we just go to outside sources for help? Why is it that we need to go to church? And right here, one of those things is because it says that there is a deceitfulness with sin. When we come together, we exhort one another daily or weekly. We exhort one another and say, you know what? It is good to live for God. That is deceit. It only leads to death, to destruction, to destroy your life. And when we get together, we're saying, no, to serve God is important. We love God. To hunger after Him, to go after Him with everything in us, to run our race, to finish our course. We spur one another on. And that is so important. That is such a gift. There are gifts that every single one of us have right now that they are to be fulfilled by the church. You have a gift that you are bringing and you are imparting into other people that are here. It could be a smile. It could be maybe you operate in the word of knowledge and there's something that you don't even mean to be giving a word of knowledge at that point. You don't know what's going through somebody else's life, but you're just talking normally. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit speaks through you, and it's a revelation. It's something that's speaking to the heart of somebody else. God has placed gifts in us, and we are to bring those gifts together to church, to encourage one another, to embolden us, to go forth and do what He has called us to do. The disciples ran to the church, to other Christians, when they were being told, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't do it anymore. This is in Acts 4. Don't speak in that name anymore. And they were beaten. Now, that could make your head start spinning. You just got beat up. Your flesh is yelling at you, is this worth it? Do I really want to share the gospel anymore? Do I want to go through this? You know, weeks prior when Jesus was dying on the cross, those same people were not following Him and saying, yeah, I'll take a cross too. They were running and hiding. And now all of a sudden, they are being beaten up. And they ran to one another and they were encouraged. The body of Christ encourages one another. And they encouraged one another and they left that place with an excitement and a boldness in the things of God and a willingness to share it with other people. And coming to church gives us the ability to say, you know what? I don't want to sin. That's deceit. I don't want to go down that path. Not because I'm going to feel bad if I do, but because I don't want the consequences. I don't want to reap that. I don't want to put those things in front of my face and have to think about that kind of stuff and make me question if there's a God. Sometimes the different things that come on TV, you know in your heart, I don't know if this is a good thing for me to really be watching. I should probably turn it off. Especially if it's doing stuff that's completely godless, I'll just say this one thing. If you're watching a show about psychics, it's probably not something you should be watching because that power is not coming from God. That power is coming from the devil. And that is really big right now. But it's not right. Just because it's big and just because it's popular and just because everyone thinks it's fun and cool and wow, exciting, doesn't mean that we jump on that. And we come to church to encourage ourselves to do what is right, even though everything else is pulling us this way. We come to church and say, you know what, that's not right. I'm not going to live like that because that's deceit. If I go down that path, I am only going to be destroyed. If I go into drugs, the writing's on the wall. Everyone knows what happens if you choose. You know, a singer that I used to love when I was growing up just died. Whitney Houston just died. I thought, gosh, I loved music. That would have been so cool to have Whitney Houston's life. No, she's dead, 48. That path, all the talent, all the giftings, all the things that she had, the deceitfulness of sin took her down a path that destroyed her life. She may still be a Christian. She knew Jesus, but she still made choices to go down a path that destroyed her life. We have the ability to come together and to exhort one another and say, you know what, it's not worth it. Don't do it. God loves you. He has so much more for you. And we start focusing on what He is doing. Let's focus on what God is doing. And then we can go on down. It says in verse, let's go to 16. So Hebrews 3:16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, this is talking about Israel when they were, after they had left Egypt. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who had sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we can see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. I just want to just touch base on that. These are people that saw signs and wonders. They were brought out, that Israel at that point had just seen the waters parted for them. They saw the miraculous happening. And yet, when they got to the other side and hardship started coming, it began to cause an unbelief, a disbelief that God was going to take care of them, that God was going to help them, that he was going to be there, that he was going to strengthen them, that he wasn't going to have them die from all these other things that were coming against them. And they did not have the Holy Spirit inside of them at that point either. And they are just wandering around, and this thing comes, and they're like, oh, God, are you really there? And then something comes over from here. God, what are you doing? Why aren't you with us? Never mind that they had just seen powerful demonstrations. They had just seen, you know, all the plagues that happened, and yet they were bypassed. Yet they saw the Egyptians that were, they saw a lot of miracles. And yet, even though those miracles were not enough for them to hang on to the unbelief that was coming at them through the different circumstances. And so, when you are off by yourself, there's more of a tendency for things to start jolting your faith, coming against you, start getting you off a little here, off a little there. What the devil is intending for you to do is for you to isolate you so he can eventually knock you off. And it may not come right away. You may be fine and everything's going well. It may not even affect you, but then it affects your children because they weren't raised in church. They weren't raised with the foundational truths that you received when you were a child and as you grew up. There's things that happen. It's a deceitfulness to think that I can do it by myself. I don't need anything. I don't need anyone. I am okay. That's not how God created us. He created us to begin with because he wanted fellowship. Then for us to think, I don't need fellowship. I don't need the body of Christ. That's not how even God is. He needed fellowship. He created us specifically in order to have a desire to fellowship with him and to fellowship with one another. That's how we are created. Now things happen. The deceitfulness of sin happens. People get hurt. People get their feelings trampled on. Makes you want to avoid others. I totally understand. I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't things that are valid. But the case is still that you're getting off. you're going a certain way that leads to destruction. Because what happens when you are not strong enough in and of yourself to stand against a fiery trial that the devil is bringing to you? You either fall into it, or what if it's something that's attacking your body? What if, you know, what if you're diagnosed with cancer? The pain starts happening. It's very difficult for you to fight it alone. It's easier to give in to death than it is to keep standing and fighting. The body of Christ is so important. Because when you have a trial or something that you are going through that is very strong, you come together and you get built up by other Christians. And there, we're all standing behind you. And then the gifts of the Spirit start happening in the praise and worship. Or when, Jim speaking or the pastor speaking, things begin to happen, and all of a sudden revelation starts to take place. And something that seems so big in your life is all of a sudden, it doesn't seem so big anymore. You've got a revelation on it. You've got an understanding of things. So my point is that when you are off by yourself, there's not that opportunity for other people to go and be able to speak into your life and to encourage you and those things to happen. Now, I just want to go on to Hebrews 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now, this is talking about the Jewish people when Jesus was alive, had just as much of an opportunity to accept Jesus as the people who ended up accepting him. I mean, there were Jews that believed and there were Jews that didn't believe. And both had the same opportunity. They heard the same word. They saw the same miracles, the same signs. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. There is an element that we bring when we come to church. If we come to church expecting nothing, we're going to get nothing. If we come just, not really wanting much, God has a hard time being able to give revelation to you if you've shut down and you're not expecting. But when we open our hearts up to him, he is allowed to speak and give revelation to us. When we have faith expecting, okay, so Jim mentioned giving. We can give all we want and not see any return on it because we're not expecting. We're not mixing faith with it. We are doing it because we ought to do it. And there's a lot of Christians that happens to. You have to. I'm giving because, number one, I believe that God's big enough to take it and to multiply it so that I can continue to give more and more and to see the things of God prosper. There's no reason why any ministry should ever have any financial problems. If everyone were giving and expecting a return on it, then we can be giving all the time. There's an abundance that is going on. But what do we have to mix with it? We mix faith. Now, does that mean that God's not big enough to do it without us? God is big enough to do lots of things, but he has chosen to let us have a will. And our will is whether or not we will to believe it. Do I believe that giving is going to change my life? That it's going to, if I give, that's going to change my finances. If I don't believe it, I shouldn't do it because it's not going to come back. I mean, I may be blessed in part, but I won't be blessed the way that God intended for me to be blessed. If I read these Ephesians prayers and a thought comes to me, oh, they're not helping, and I believe that thought, say, well, this isn't really doing much, and I start saying, you know what, this is a good idea, I guess, but it's not really doing anything, where is that going to lead me? I'm going to end up quitting because I'm following a disbelief. This isn't important. I'm not going to do this. So I start following that way. But if I add faith to it, and I'm expecting my prayers to be answered, I'm expecting to see people getting a revelation of who God is, and I'm expecting these kind of things, what happens? I've mixed faith with it, and it produces a result. Bible says that there is no promise, there is nothing, no word of God that will return void. If we put our faith, mix our faith with that, everything in His Word should come to pass in our life. And one of the best places for that to happen is when we come to church, because all week long, we are in environments that are not godly. It's just the way that the world is. Unless you are in a little bubble, you are going to be faced with people who are ungodly, that don't believe things the way that God believes them and the way that God has set them. And so they're constantly pulling you this way, saying, it's not work. No, let's look at the natural. Oh, I'm stressed out. I have so much work to do. There's so much stuff going on. I can't keep up with everything. That's what the natural's trying to pull you over this way. Then you spend some time with God. You come to the church. You build one another up. You get encouraged. You're singing, God is faithful. He is faithful. You're reminding yourself of His faithfulness, of His goodness, of His ability that's greater than anything, bigger than anything. And what do? You reset your thinking. And you have just put the reset button and started again. And now you are encouraged and you start running after the things of God again. And you've encouraged one another. And who knows, something could have happened during the service to where God just revealed. You know, nothing was even said. Jim didn't even speak anything to you that morning that had anything to do with your situation. But the presence of God was so strong, and the atmosphere was just right to where your mind was open, and boom, things just started to open up and you started to see things in a different way. And so if there's one thing that I just want to end on, I just basically want to encourage you. You're doing the right thing. Coming to church, you are doing the right thing. It is important. Church is, it is a place for you to come expecting and things to change in your life. When He called us out here to do what we're doing, it wasn't by accident. He brought us here for a reason. And right now, it would be easy to think, well, what is that reason? Even you guys coming, gosh, this place is so small. What can God ever do with this? You know, or it would be easy to discount the people that He's brought together right now, to discount one another and to see our limitations individually, maybe, you know, and to say, well, how can He use this person? Or how is He going to do anything with what He's got right now? But that's not how God sees it. God purposefully brought each one of us and has put things in each one of our hearts, and while we were here, has deposited truths into us that have been changing our lives and getting us ready for the next step that God has for us. And He has done that because we have come in faith believing, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I could look for something else that has all the programs that I need. But this is where God has me for such a time as this. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. But since I'm here, I might as well mix faith with it and believe that something's happening. You know, that God is moving. Since we're out here in Boston, Massachusetts, we might as well not give up. We might as well keep believing that God is doing stuff. And we do. We're not shaky on this at all. We know things are happening. Things are taking place. We are changing. You're changing. And God is stirring stuff out there. His word is going out through our mouths, to our friends and to our families. His word will not come back void. And especially when we start praying these Ephesian prayers over all the people that God has been putting across our paths, and we start mixing that with faith and start expecting something to happen, it's going to happen. It's going to take place. We're not just hoping that something's going to change. We are expecting. We know that God has brought us for such a time as this. We knew it was going to take time to start up the train and get it moving down the track. But I'm telling you, once it's moving, it is not going to be able to be stopped. Things are going to happen. Things are happening right now. It isn't just that it's going to happen. It's happening right now. And he has brought together a group of people that are hungry for him, that are desiring his move, and desiring to see him manifest himself in a supernatural way, in a God kind of way. And that's what we're going to see happen. And when we come on Sunday mornings expecting for God to move supernaturally, and that God is bringing other pockets of people that are desiring the same thing, that are willing to listen to him and say, I will come. There are a lot of people that are willing to say, I will sit. But there are a lot of people that God is stirring in their hearts and saying, no. This is what I need. I'm going to take a step. I'm going to find it, and I'm going to get it. And God is drawing those people. And he is using you. Every single one of us knows somebody who's not saved. Every single one of us knows somebody who needs to know Jesus, who needs heaven. Even if they can't experience heaven on earth because they have a hard time wrapping faith around that God can do something now, at least they're having heaven for eternity. And we have that on the inside of us. And church is important. That's where the disciples ran when they wanted to be encouraged and emboldened to take the message, the gospel of Jesus, and run with it and affect everyone that they came across. They shared Jesus. Right now, you may think, I have timidity. It's not going to be like that. It's not going to stay like that. It will not keep up like that, because you're going to get such a revelation of God and such a revelation of love towards your friends and your family, that you will risk the rejection that you may feel initially when you share. You may feel a little uncomfortable. That is okay, because you are loving that person. Now, you're not sharing Jesus with somebody just to get a little check mark and say, I did it. Yay! God loves me. I shared. No, you are being led. You cared so much about that person that when the right time came, you shared Jesus with them. And you weren't ashamed of the gospel. And that is what's happening. All of this time that you guys have been coming, God has been planting things in your heart and things in our heart. And things have been, he's put seeds. And those seeds are growing. And as they keep growing in us and developing in us as a church, we're going to start seeing big things start to happen. The tree starts out small. But as it grows and grows and grows, when the winds blow, it doesn't get pushed. It doesn't fall over. When it's a strong, steady tree, things keep coming. Nothing happens. The Bible says that the church in Acts 4, after they ran together and they were encouraging one another, it says that they were in one accord. That means I didn't care what Terry wore, what my mom said, what Melissa did. My focus was on Jesus. I was not concerned about people, their dress, their clothes, their attitudes, or anything. We have one focus, and that's Jesus and his love. And that created a unity and an accord that You know, they weren't worried about church splits. They just weren't. They didn't have to be worried about it because their focus and their intent was Jesus. And when we put our focus and our intent on Jesus, we don't care if it comes in the exact same package that we think it should be in. We're just thankful that it came, that it's happening. That, you know, and when we all have our own things that we're bringing to the congregation, God is using all of us. We don't have to be jealous of one another. I don't have to be jealous. If you can sing, praise God. You know, I'm more than happy. That would be awesome. Why is that? Because God has put gifts inside of each and every single one of us. And His plan is big enough for all of us to have the dreams and the things that are inside of us to come to pass. There is nothing that is in your heart that is too big for God to bring to come to pass. And I don't have to let insecurities motivate me to be petty with somebody else. And if I do, then somebody else in the church can say, you know what, in love, I think you may be just a little jealous. And that's kind of clouding your vision there. And that's how we help one another. We just, you know, we're not perfect. None of us here are perfect, and we're going to do things that are going to offend one another, and we can say, I'm offended, and leave. Or we can say, I'm offended, and I'm going to figure out if I need to change or if I need to say something to someone and work it out. That's how we don't have splits. And we all have a part. We all have something that God has brought for us, so we don't have to be in competition. There's no competition in the things of God.